This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
The pitch. Swinging a hard shot on one hop, backhanded by Pasquantino. He does it himself. Ball game over. And the Kansas City Royals beat the Red Sox. They're now tied for third, in a virtual tie anyway, in the wild card, for the third wild card spot. 6-1, the Royals win it.
In this crucial series right before the All-Star game, the Royals take game one in very convincing fashion. 6-1 the final here at Fenway Park. And as Joe Castiglione just said, these two teams in a virtual tie now for that third wild card spot. Joe Weil with you, still at Fenway Park. Thanks for joining us for Red Sox Review. And we got you for a full hour here coming up. We're going to take you all the way up to 11 p.m. talking about the Red Sox, talking about tonight's game, and really what a dud it was for the Red Sox, and how it was in some ways set up to be that way. Because you were hoping for a good outing from Cooper Criswell, and you were hoping the Red Sox would find a way to get to the All-Star and Cole Ragans. But when you looked at the matchup coming in, we know how this Red Sox team is struggling against left-handed starters. They're 12-15 now in games in which there is a left-handed starting pitcher on the mound. And then you couple that with Cooper Criswell, who has been at times the five starter for this team, making his first start in roughly a month here at the big league level, and he didn't have any swing and miss stuff. And the Royals, they were putting the ball in play a lot in the first inning. They played one, and then thanks to an error by Romy Gonzalez in the second inning, that opens the floodgates for three runs in the second. Royals were in full command after that. So on paper, when you looked at the matchup, this was a game you'd say, okay, the Royals are probably going to win it, and they did. Now the question becomes, can this team respond Saturday and Sunday and ultimately win this series, which they've done more times than not over their last 12 series? 7-1-4 over their last 12 series. So one game doesn't mean any, you know, in the grand scheme of all of this, this season, the way this team has played might not mean all that much, but to make that happen, they now have to respond. 4-12 now at Fridays at Fenway Park, and 3-13 in series openers at Fenway Park. What does that mean? Probably don't come to Fenway on a Friday, unless you're one of the four times they've won. But in all seriousness, this could all mean nothing depending how the rest of the series goes. We have seen this team time and time again, and even in series at home, lose the opener, then bounce back. Remember how we all felt when they lost against the Phillies and where the team was at that point? We didn't really have much hope. Then they rebounded, won the second game, won the third game. Then they lose the opener against the Yankees back in that June series. Then they win the second game and third game. That Alex Verdugo home run didn't mean a whole lot much, or a whole lot by the end of it, once you got to the second and third game and you won those next two. It's not a trend you necessarily want to keep up. You want to be able to set the tone by winning the first game of a series, like they did against Oakland. But this one on paper looked like the one the Royals had the best opportunity to get. Tomorrow also looks good because Seth Lugo's good. But he's a right-handed starter. We know how this team hits against right-handed starters. They'll be able to stack the lineup with more left-handed hitters. And Cutter Crawford has been more reliable than Cooper Criswell. That's just the reality. So we'll see how this team responds tomorrow. And then we'll see how they do Sunday. Sunday, they're nearly unbeatable. But a big matchup coming up tomorrow now with Cutter Crawford on the mound opposite an all-star in Seth Lugo. Coming up in the program, we're going to hear from the participants in this game. We're also going to hear from Red Sox manager Alex Cora on top of that. And we'll get to your call. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Again, 617-779-7937. We are going to get to all your calls. We promise you. We got a whole hour to hear from you. And we want to hear from you. You can also text us at 37937 as well. So again, 617-779-7937. When we come back, because we have to take a break here, when we come back, we will hear from Alex Cora. And again, we're going to get to your calls. This is your time to shine. Red Sox lose 6-1 against the Royals. These two teams now tied for that third wild card spot. A lot of intrigue now in this series. Back right after this. Alex Cora, your calls coming up next here on Red Sox Review.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
1-2 pitch is high and deep into the left center field, back toward the monster, and it is gone. Into the second row of the monster seats, Bobby Witt Jr. launches a homer, his 16th of the year, and it is 5-1 Kansas City.
And a Royals fan ended up with it. Got to feel good for Bobby, whose family, of course, is from here. And even though we're up in Texas, I say he's got a twinge of the Bay State in his speech.
Ooh. Hit that one out of the yard.
He certainly did. He certainly hit that one out of the yard. Bobby Witt Jr., 429 feet on that solo shot to left center field against Cooper Criswell, and that is the highlight from tonight's Nissan Red Sox postgame show. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. Joe Weil with you here at Fenway Park. Red Sox lose 6-1 tonight against the Kansas City Royals. So these two teams now in a virtual tie for that third wild card spot. We want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. Now that there's two games left before the All-Star break, and of course we continue to inch closer to the trade deadline as well, we want to hear your thoughts. And we are going to get to your calls and your thoughts coming up in a little bit here, because we want to get to Alex Cora first. We're going to get to the calls next. We want to hear from the Red Sox manager and hear what he had to say after the 6-1 loss to Kansas City.
Not much. It was a good fastball, good cutter. The changeup is good. Wasn't control. We didn't put pressure on him, so it's one of the best in the league. We saw him last year, and I was very impressed. And this year, he's taken another step using his whole repertoire, and it's a tough at bat.
There's too many guys on base for Cooper in the first couple of
games. With him, they're gonna put the ball in play. We know that. Frazier, loop single, Witt hits a bullet for a base hit, the ground ball, that went through the infield. Salvi hits a sac fly. Salvi hits a pitch like it's a foot away. That's going to happen, right? We didn't make a play at first base. But I think overall, I know the line looks bad, but he gave us enough, with him. We got to be on point on defense, Like I said, they're going to put the ball in play. He did a good job later in the game using his sinker cutter, kind of like keeping them honest. So it was six. That was good.
So, I know you mentioned he's one of the best in the big leagues, their star. So, you think it was more about him versus just being a lefty?
If you look at our numbers, T.O. is doing a good job against lefties. Ref is doing the same thing. Wonger is doing the same thing. Obviously, the production of Rafi and Jaren is lower, right? We just got to find a way to do it, I think the last good one against a lefty was in Cincinnati. We face a few of them, and they've done a good job. We just got to keep working. Today, we switched the lineup. Ref got on base twice, leading off. So just got to be patient and keep working.
Surprised Rafi hasn't done more damage against
Not really. It's part of the season, He'll get hot and start hitting the ball in the air and do his thing.
You guys won a lot of the games when you used the bullpen or spot starters.
I think the guys that have pitched in that spot, they've done a good job, to be honest with you. I think Coop, has given us a chance to win games. Wink was good a few starts ago. So we got capable guys, and obviously injuries has affected the spot, But I think overall, we've done a pretty good job.
As your starters add more innings, get close to kind of career high,
We need the five guys that are in the rotation to give us what they've been giving us, and we have a good We have the All-Star break to reset. We'll shuffle the rotation to take care of certain guys. But as far as where they at physically and obviously mentally, they're in a good spot.
Kind of just a weird thing. You guys have been wondering many games on Fridays, and it seems like you always went on Sundays. Is there anything to that, or is that just kind of...
We got a lot of guys going to chapel on Sunday.
Used to love the Friday nights, though.
Yeah, but no. The chapel... The new guy, he's really good. So we love him.
Start having him on Friday.
We should. We're good. Thank you.
All right, I love that little bit of humor there at the end. It's the power of the Lord. Listen, on Sundays this team really is unbeatable, and outside of one loss, they have been phenomenal on Sundays. Friday nights, not too much. This team really has struggled on Fridays this year, and it's been a theme. See how they can respond now coming up here against the Royals, first on Saturday and then on Sunday, but 4-12 on Friday. So it's been something that's been an issue for them, right, this year. And I do think there's a part of it that's just random baseball. Like, there's a randomness to it, and the fact that they are so good on Sundays as well. But... when you're in a spot where you're still trying to gain some ground on other teams and you haven't secured a wild card spot or a playoff spot or feel comfortable in a playoff spot in any means, you want to find a way to fix it, and you just can't keep relying on, hey, we're going to lose the first game and work our way back in a series. So again, the Red Sox fall 6-1 against the Kansas City Royals. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. 7937, and we will kick it off on the phones. We start with AJ in Dover, who wants to chime in after this Sox loss. AJ, thanks for joining us.
Oh, sorry about that. Just got my phone.
All good, AJ. How you doing?
Good. I'm not going to have too much on the loss because it just kind of reaffirmed for me the deficiency versus left-handed pitching, so it's not something I'm going to go into. But my thoughts, and I called, and I think Coop was saying something to me, and I brought up the issue that we have a left-handed heavy lineup. You look at, like, four of our top 10 prospects, highly touted, outside of our top three, also, I think, Romero. So four of our top 10 prospects are left-handed bats. You add into that Duran, Devers, Abreu, and you're looking at like six or seven out of nine batters for the foreseeable future. And I just think that the front office has to really look at that and maybe fix that imbalance. I'm thinking that at the deadline, it's pretty much bleeper, get off the pot in terms of getting rid of some of these prospects, because there's log jams. They're not going to be up anytime soon. I'm looking anywhere from number 6 down to 15. I'm thinking York, Romero, Medruth,
Chase Medruth.
Yeah, and maybe Hickey, like anything that could get us immediate help. We shouldn't be trotting out 4A guys to hit a guy that's in an all-star appearance. I know that Reshnight is pretty good, but it really just gets in my behind that we missed out on Teoscar Hernandez. I was just thinking, maybe what you think about, do you think they have the capability to look at this logjam in the minor system and maybe part with a couple of these prospects that's not in the top four, and what we could get in a return if we maybe do package 6, 12, and 20, something like that.
Yeah, and AJ, that's what they're going to have to do to get somebody that's really going to help this team, is package a couple of those guys. At least that's what I think that is going to likely happen, and we appreciate your call. If you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. It is an interesting part of when you look to the future of this team. And again, the Red Sox lose 6-1 tonight against the Royals, 4-12 now on Fridays this year, and 3-13 in series home openers. At Fenway Park, obviously, home openers. But, you know, to get back to his point, it is interesting that the big three, quote-unquote, with Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, and Kyle Teal, they're all left-handed bats. And then you have a guy in Christian Campbell who's really coming on in Portland. If you're not paying attention to this guy, you'd need to. He's a right-handed hitter. Miguel Blyce, right-handed hitter. Nick York, a right-handed hitter. I mean, and Nick York is kind of falling down that prospect list, so to speak. Now, the interesting thing is, you look at the future of this team, right? And you think of guys that are going to stick for years. You know, you look at Seidon Rafael. Of course, that's a right-handed bat. And Connor Wong, too. Those are a couple of guys you know moving forward you have as pieces that can be a part of a winning team. So those are right-handed hitters. But Tyler O'Neill, this is the last year of his contract, and that was sort of part of the deal when you got him, and that's why you got him for what you got him, Nick Robertson and Victor Santos. This is the last year of his contract, so you don't know what's going to happen moving forward with him. You do know moving forward, you have Devers, a left-handed hitter, Jarren Duran, a left-handed hitter. I think David Hamilton's, you know, really turned himself into a piece now moving forward. And then, as you know, AJ just talked about, you have Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, and Kyle Teal. It does continue to drive home the point that they need to externally, or, you know, you re-sign Tyler O'Neill in the offseason and then add still even more externally from a right-handed batting spot to balance things out. And again, tonight's just one of those situations where you see it again. Left-handed starter on the mound. Now, the interesting thing I thought actually coming into this one is that left-handed batters actually have done better against Reagans than right-handed batters. The caveat to that is that right-handed batters have had way more plate appearances than left-handed batters, but the splits are better for the left-handed batters. But all that being said, again, you knew coming into this one it's going to be tough because this team just doesn't hit left-handed pitchers, left-handed starters as well as they do right-handed starters because they can set up the lineup a lot better with getting all those left-handed bats in. So it continues to be a question mark for this team. How are they going to address that? Because again, as I said, you know, in our network post-game, the two biggest things we keep talking about on these shows showed itself, right? That fifth starter spot, although Alex Cora gave a little vote of confidence there for Cooper Criswell and Josh Winkowski, who have been, you know, locking down that. And then on the other side, with the right-handed bat part of it, again, you would have liked to have another one in the lineup. Now, as you continue to think about that part of it, it is a little tricky to figure out, okay, where do we necessarily want to get a right-handed bat? Do we want to get like a Justin Turner type and bring him back so he can play a little first base? Do you try to get a second baseman? Okay, well then who is that you're going to get? I don't know, name people thrown out, Bo Bichette, instead of a down year. Is it Paul DeYoung? Is it a player you necessarily go after? Where does that right-handed bat ultimately get placed? Maybe it's taking up that DH spot, but then what do you do with Masataki Yoshida, who's on this roster? So again, it's an interesting debate, discussion, and that's what this forum is for you guys to chime in. And, you know, I think from a starting pitching side, I think of a couple names. I keep bringing them up, Chris Bassett, Eric Fetty. Those are two guys that really intrigue me. But that right-handed bat part of it is very fascinating. Again, 617-779-7937. I know we got Paul and Wally hanging tight on the lines. Guys, we are going to get to you on the other side of this upcoming break, so hang tight. But first, we go to Nico Manganiello with what's trending here on WEEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, the Red Sox fall 6-1 tonight against the Kansas City Royals. So now these two teams in a virtual tie for that third wild card spot. The record's still a little different. Red Sox now 51-42, and the Royals 52-43. So you have the Royals, in terms of games, play a little bit different there than the Red Sox. But in terms of the standings, they're in the same spot, tied for that third wild card spot behind the Yankees and the Minnesota Twins. And this was a game that, you know, really from start to finish was all Royals except for the Red Sox scoring in the second inning. So they take this one, that being Kansas City. But again, as we've hit on in this show, Joe Weil with you here at Fenway Park, Nico Manganiello back at WEI. It won't mean all that much if they can just win the next two games, right? You win a series, and especially if you bounce back after losing the first one, the feeling is going to be a lot different, especially then going into the All-Star break. And this team is trying to just finish it strong. And Will Fleming made this point, and I agree with it. You know, say this team does lose the next two games. It's still a successful first half. But what it does do is, you know, when we get back to playing games, and the Red Sox do have some really tough series coming up right before the trade deadline against some good teams. You know, I know we dismissed the Yankees, you know, especially because the way that they've been playing recently, but they're good. They're still a good team, a team that's ahead of the Red Sox. Mariners right before the trade deadline, and then before even those two series, they go out and play three against the Dodgers. Mixed in there is a series against Colorado, but still, you want to keep the foot on the gas pedal. You want to finish out this pre-All-Star break strong. And now the question is, how does the Red Sox respond against Seth Lugo, an All-Star that this was a guy that the Red Sox had some interest in the offseason. He ends up signing with the Royals. Again, 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phones. We go to Paul in Westfield. What's going on, Paul?
Joe, we may have lost, but for 20 years in Westfield, I rode past Boston Bay because the bus station's there. I'm on the attack. They have a menu that's heaven. I got a gourmet burger with fries and a slice for $12. I'm literally in heaven. This is awesome.
I'm glad you're in a good place. I love that.
Yes, sir. Hey, Joe, I talked to your producer. I heard you say, I was going to joke with you about our losing opening day at home on Friday after we came off the road and kicked the crap out of everybody. When did that curse break? A couple of weeks ago? First of the three games you won at home?
Are you talking about you're talking about opening day. You're talking about the way that they played at the beginning of the season, right?
You said that we now have won three on opening day, but up to that point, we hadn't won a game. So when did we break it? When did we win the first opening season at home? About a week ago or a month ago?
The first home opening win for this team, let's see. I'm going to make sure I have it right before I spiel it off to you. It was they won against San Francisco on April 30th. That was their first home opening win of the season. So it took a little bit of time. They won one against Oakland, and then they won one against Toronto. Remember that crazy Toronto game that they won 7-6? It was a walk-off hit by Jaron Duran. That was one of the wins to open a series at home. The Oakland series, this previous series, and then that one I mentioned on April 30th against the Giants. Those are the three.
Oh, God. April 30th was the first one or August 30th?
Well, that hasn't even happened yet. August 30th.
Yes, sir. You're right. My bad. Time warp, Tyler. Paul. Okay, so that's atrocious, but there's a reason. And that reason is retired from kicking everyone's butt on the rope. Hey, let me ask you, remember our ace player that got into the third baseman? It's Trevor Story, right?
Yes. Well, yeah. You're talking about the opening road trip. He was a shortstop, but yes.
Yes, sir. The sky was falling, blah, blah, blah. So with him coming back next year and the maturity that this team is showing, and you're not going to win everyone. It's a long season. I have one simple question. I'm not worried about the wild card. I guess you said something very intelligent. When you rely on Judge and Soto and they don't play and you don't have a good pitching staff, bye-bye Yankees. Is there any weak links in
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, the Red Sox fall 6-1 tonight against the Kansas City Royals. So now these two teams in a virtual tie for that third wild card spot. The record's still a little different. Red Sox now 51-42, and the Royals 52-43. So you have the Royals, in terms of games, play a little bit different there than the Red Sox. But in terms of the standings, they're in the same spot, tied for that third wild card spot behind the Yankees and the Minnesota Twins. And this was a game that, you know, really from start to finish was all Royals except for the Red Sox scoring in the second inning. So they take this one, that being Kansas City. But again, as we've hit on in this show, Joe Weil with you here at Fenway Park, Nico Manganiello back at WEI. it won't mean all that much if they can just win the next two games, right? You win a series, and especially if you bounce back after losing the first one, the feeling is going to be a lot different, especially then going into the All-Star break. And this team is trying to just finish it strong. And Will Fleming made this point, and I agree with it. You know, say this team does lose the next two games, it's still a successful first half. But what it does do is, you know, when we get back to playing games, and the Red Sox do have some really tough series coming up right before the trade deadline against some good teams. You know, I know we dismissed the Yankees, you know, especially because the way that they've been playing recently, but they're still a good team, a team that's ahead of the Red Sox. Mariners right before the trade deadline, and then before even those two series, they go out and play three against the Dodgers. Mixed in there is a series against Colorado, but still, you want to keep the foot on the gas pedal. You want to finish out this pre-All-Star break strong. And now the question is, how does the Red Sox respond against Seth Lugo, an All-Star that this was a guy that the Red Sox had some interest in the offseason. He ends up signing with the Royals. Again, 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phones. We go to Paul in Westfield. What's going on, Paul?
Joe, we may have lost, but for 20 years in Westfield, I rode past Boston Bay because the bus station's there. I'm on the attack. They have a menu that's heaven. I got a gourmet burger with fries and a slice for $12. I'm literally in heaven. This is awesome.
I'm glad you're in a good place. I love that.
Yes, sir. Hey, Joe, I talked to your producer. I heard you say, I was going to joke with you about our losing opening day at home on Friday after we came off the road and kicked the crap out of everybody. When did that curse break? A couple weeks ago? First of the three games you won at home?
Are you talking about you're talking about opening day. You're talking about the way that they played at the beginning of the season, right?
You said that we now have won three on opening day, but up to that point, we hadn't won a game. So when did we break it? When did we win the first opening season at home? About a week ago or a month ago?
The first home opening win for this team, let's see, I'm going to make sure I have it right before I spill it off to you. It was they won against San Francisco on April 30th. That was their first home opening win of the season. So it took a little bit of time. They won one against Oakland, and then they won one against Toronto. Remember that crazy Toronto game that they won 7-6? It was a walk-off hit by Jaren Duran. That was one of the wins to open a series at home. The Oakland series, this previous series, and then that one I mentioned on April 30th against the Giants. Those are the three.
Oh, God. April 30th was the first one or August 30th?
Well, that hasn't even happened yet. August 30th.
Yes, sir. You're right. My bad. Time warp, Tyler. Paul. Okay, so that's atrocious, but there's a reason. And that reason is retired from kicking everyone's butt on the ropes. Hey, let me ask you, remember our ace player that got into the third baseman? It's Trevor Story, right?
Yes. Well, yeah. You're talking about the opening road trip. He was a shortstop, but yes.
Yes, sir. Yeah, the sky was falling, blah, blah, blah. So with him coming back next year and the maturity that this team is showing, and you're not going to win everyone. It's a long season. I have one simple question. I'm not worried about the wild card. I guess you said something very intelligent. When you rely on Judge and Soto and they don't play and you don't have a good pitching staff, bye-bye Yankees. Is there any weak links in the Orioles that could possibly allow us to go on a run and catch them?
I mean, Paul, anything is possible at this point. I mean, I feel like this Orioles team, first off, they I want to make sure this game just went final. I do think they're better than the Red Sox, like by a solid margin. So I would be shocked to see this team end up ceding the division to the Red Sox. You know, where the Yankees, they feel more gettable even though they won tonight. So now they're just one back of the O's and 5.5 up on the Red Sox. You know, to me, they're a team built for the future because they have so many young guys on their club, where the Yankees are different, right? They're a more veteran team. They have Judge. They have Soto for this year. They have to figure out a way to re-sign him. So I think building for the future, the Red Sox are looking good because they have these really good prospects in the system and all that. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. I think the Orioles probably are out of the picture. It's fun to think about, though, even, you know, especially with the way this season's going.
Right, and you know, anything can happen on any given Sunday, and I don't wish harm on anyone. Joe, how long ago were the Orioles so terrible? They rebuilt from the farm team up. How many years ago? They were like when we used to go beat up Buffalo every year. How many years ago was that? Because they're awesome now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a long period, right? They were really bad for a very long stretch of time. They made the playoffs before last year. The last time they had made the playoffs was 2016, and that was the famous wild card game against the Blue Jays where they didn't use Zach Britton. So it certainly took a long time. But yeah, so anyway, so Paul, appreciate it. Just because you got a couple questions in, we'll let you go there. Appreciate the call. And if you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. As we continue to roll along here on Red Sox Review, the calls keep rolling in, which we always love. Let's go to another one of our regulars. We go to Fall River to check in with our man, Wale. What's going on, Wale?
Yeah, what's up, Joe? You have to give Reagan credit. He pitched a good game. He's a left-handed pitcher. We can't hit left-handers. We have a poor record against him. I think Papelbon mentioned after the game that we have the most strikeouts against starting left-handed pitchers in baseball. You can't depend on Cassis. We don't know when he's coming back, but he's a left-handed bat. He's going to have ring rust. But as far as catching the Yankees in Baltimore, you know them GMs are going to make moves to strengthen their team. I mean, the Yankees are in a slump now, but I don't expect them to be that lousy the rest of the year. But there's moves you can make. It's up to our general manager. You can't Mickey Mouse around. You got a lot of teams in contention for the wild cards, including the National League over there. The GMs over there are going to make moves. So Craig Breslow, you know, he's going to pull a wool over our eyes, or he's going to make some moves. You like him, you know. You like to hear him say, talking a positive move, a positive demeanor about strengthening this team. We're not fighting for. We're not going to be in last place. We're in contention. Nobody expected this. But there's some names out there as far as left, right-handed bats. You got Pete Alonso, who's would be a rental probably if the Mets decide to move him.
Yeah, and Wally, want to cut you off there very quickly. We're going to keep you on here we don't want to let you go. I just was going to say that Pete Alonso. He's. I mean, the Mets are playing good baseball now. So I wonder how that trends for them.
Right, I don't think they're going to trade him. I think they'll keep him. But the Blue Jays keep on saying they're going to, you know, have a fire sale. I don't know what it'd take to get Vlad Guerrero.
It would take a lot. I mean, and that's it's. And then I think about long term where you place him with where this roster's at. I mean, you'd love to get that bat. It would be great, right? I actually, let me make sure I backtrack there for a second. It'd be awesome to have him on this roster. You know, I think. Based on what I think they'll do, I don't think they're going to go that big with a right-handed bat. To me, just if you talk about Blue Jays right-handed bats, to me, a Justin Turner probably makes a little bit more sense, Wally.
Like I said, I know what you'd have to give up. You know, for probably not much, but I was thinking of Josh Bell, too. I know of any other first baseman that are available. You got Lewis Roberts of Chicago. He's an outfielder. And you got Jorge Soler of the Giants. But like I said, you got a big hole at first base. You're not getting much production.
Yeah, and I think the thing about Dom, you know, it's funny, Dom Smith, and while I appreciate the call as always, if you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. You know, it's interesting with Dom Smith. I actually think he's kind of held his own over there at first base. It took some time, and initially he and Garrett Cooper both struggled in that spot. But Dom Smith has actually been pretty solid over there at first base. He's a nice chemistry guy, too, if that doesn't mean anything to you out there. But brings some good vibes. He's had some really good at-bats now for a pretty solid amount of time. And I he's really come around, I think, in my mind. Again, the overall numbers don't quite tell you that. But he's been a nice presence and a nice placeholder for this team to have as they continue to wait out Tristan Casas' return. But at the same time, Josh Bell, I'm probably out on him. He's got a negative 1.4 WAR this year. Like he just hasn't done that much. And I know he bats from both sides, but I don't know. Maybe it's a situation where you get him out of Miami and then he's a little bit better. But I don't know. To me, that doesn't do all that much for me. Maybe a Justin Turner does, right? You get a right-handed bat back in there. You can mix him in there at first base, and you can kind of try to make it work that way. It's really fascinating discussion. To me, like, again, that part of it is way more question mark-y than the starting pitching part of it. And that's what I keep coming back to because yeah, I did a show last night and I threw out a couple names. Nico and I did a show together and I'm thinking about the names I'm throwing out there, like Paul DeYoung or like a Bo Bichette at second base, right? And I, even when I say them out loud, I'm not totally even convinced myself those are the right moves. But this team could use a right-handed bat. I mean, that's the reality. And the question is, who do you go out and get? What's the prospect capital you're willing to get up, give up? And then on top of that, how does the market continue to matriculate here or continue to kind of become clearer as we get closer to the trade deadline? Because the point that I'll make, and I'll continue to make this point, is that it's a different trade deadline this year than years in the past, right? Because of this third wild card, and so many teams feel like they're not completely out of it. In a different world, the Texas Rangers would be a team you know, okay, they're probably going to sell. But they won last year, and they have all these veterans, and they figure, okay, maybe we can turn things around. So I don't know if I'm convinced that they're a team that can necessarily say they're going to sell. The ones you feel comfortable about, and I mentioned these yesterday, I'll say them again, the White Sox, the A's, the Angels, the Marlins, the Rockies, and, you know, maybe the Blue Jays, right? To me, those are the ones you think about and you say, okay, I feel pretty good about them. But that's not a long list of teams. It's not. And that's what's so weird about this trade deadline and figuring out, okay, who's a team that's actually going to give up a piece? And that's where the next couple weeks become really fascinating. And we know it's fascinating from the Red Sox perspective, but it's also fascinating from the greater baseball state and who exactly is going to be available from a selling standpoint that all these buyers are going to want to go and go after. Again, 617-779-7937. We stay on topic, though, with this right-handed bat situation. We go to Josh in the car. He's up next here on Red Sox Review. Josh, thanks for joining us.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us.
The target for the right-hand bat, shouldn't it be the Brendan Rodgers, the Colorado Rockies?
I mean, again, you talk about a team that is definitely thinking about, you know, or not thinking about, they're a team that's not going to be in it. So I'm looking at his numbers right now. So okay, here, I'll ask you this question, and then I'll kind of continue to expound upon this, Josh. What is it about him that appeals so much to you?
Well, he's going to give you second base defense. You can play shortstop, put Rafael out in center later on in the innings.
But what do you do with Duran at that point?
I know the injuries are. I know his injuries are a problem, but he gets on base.
But what I mean, the Rafaela thing. There are days they're going to want Duran out there in center field.
No, I'm talking about in the defensive later in the defensive shift in the later innings.
Okay. So, I mean, again, the numbers, though, I look at them right now. I mean, they don't – like, I look at this right now, looking at his line, Josh, and I – to me, this doesn't necessarily fix the problem, you know, because the overall numbers, he's got a 691 OPS, and I know you're looking for some production from the left-handed side. He does hit left-handed pitchers better. I wonder who they get rid of to that, like who they take off the roster to then put somebody like this who may not be such a marginal up or such a big upgrade, you know, to kind of figure that
well,
out.
He's a better defender than Hamilton or I'm blanking on the name, but the second baseman.
Are you thinking of Inmanuel Valdez?
Yeah, Valdez, correct.
Yeah, I mean he's in AAA and he is in AAA again. So it's an interesting one. I will definitely say that outs above average does look at him pretty favorably. He's got a plus two in that category. So, I think if you can get him for pretty cheap, yeah. Actually, now see, like now you're talking me into it. I'm coming around a little bit on it, but
yeah, you mentioned Freddie. I thought he was a good target for them as a starting pitcher. But I like them to thread the needle and kind of trade off Jansen. Pick up like a Freddie or a
no. See, they're not going to do that though because Craig Breslow. He's been very, and I actually do appreciate this. The pick a lame thing. He's been very of all the things that he's put on the record to say, Josh. That's the one thing he's stuck by, is that they are going to pick a lane. They're not going to trade off, and then, you know, they're not going to do something like trade Jansen to then get, you know, and then to add in a separate way. This team is good in part because they have Jansen at the back end of the bullpen.
I honestly don't have much faith in Jansen. As the Dodgers, you could always bet against him in the postseason. So I know he's pitched very well, and he's Hall of Fame closer. I just don't trust him when the game's on the line, like a Kimbrel type. So I'd say trade him while he's hot, and then we put another flamethrower from the minors, give him a shot. I mean, it's been team development this whole year. Why not keep that going?
I know. So I'm curious. You say the minors. Who's the person you're thinking of in the minors to bring him up?
I always think that you get a hard throw in the later innings that has some control, that doesn't walk people. You can find that closer. That's my opinion. Not everyone agrees with that.
Yeah, and I will disagree with that. The Rogers one, again, I'm kind of coming around on it a little bit, and I appreciate the call there, Josh. Feel free to chime in anytime you like. Cool to have you in the car, you know, chiming in there about the trade deadline, which is what we're all curious about and talking about. You know, with Jansen, though, to me, you trade him away, that's taking away from your strengths. He's been really good. The Kenley boys, as the Section 10 guys say. You know, I think I've become one. I'm a fan. Like, he's been really good this year. Really reliable, too. I feel very comfortable with him in the games. And I do understand, like, the postseason part of it, especially because we saw it in 2018, you know, when the Dodgers were facing the Red Sox, and he blew a couple saves in that World Series. But he's been reliable this year. I like the feeling of knowing that he's at the back end of the bullpen to close out a game. And I think you can make a very good argument that he was an all-star snub, too. So to me, if you're saying, okay, I want this team to continue to add, or I want this team to put itself in a position to be the best team, or to make the playoffs, that does not involve trading Kenley Jansen away. And you can't just call anybody up from AAA and say, okay, this guy is now ready to be the back end of the bullpen guy. There's a mentality you need to get there. And it's not just something you do. It's why the best guys are the guys at the end. And Kenley's been one of those guys. At the beginning of the season, I could hear that argument. I can't really hear it right now. I don't agree with it. But, again, the Brendan Rodgers thing, a little bit interesting. Put him at second base. He does hit left-handers well. Defensively, he's pretty good, too. It's interesting premise. And, again, that right-handed bat conversation, fascinating to me about what they could do. Before we go to break, let's go to one more call. Let's go to Mike. He's chiming in from Buffalo. He wants to talk about the rest of this Royals series. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, hey, how you doing? I've been following since I'm 5. I'm 75 with my grandfather in New Hampshire listening to Ted Williams. And if you think, or anybody in Boston thinks, that Toronto will trade Guerrero to Boston, they have to be on another planet. That just, you know yourself that's not going to happen. And I saw the series and I saw the pitching matchup and I said, you know what? They're going to lose all three. And I think they're going to lose all three. And I don't think they're going to really, really, really do anything. To me, Turner's too old and are the right-handed bat. I'd like to see him make the playoffs, but I think the Yankees, Minnesota, Kansas City, I just think they're just a little bit better. And way, 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 way too many left-handed. Too many left-handed bats, and you can't expect Devers to carry the team. And O'Neill, I'm only glad they signed him for a year. He is a strikeout machine. Okay, that's good. Take care.
All right, thanks, Mike. Appreciate you chiming in. I couldn't agree more with him about the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. thing, right? Especially in the division. And there's a market for somebody like him to, you know, that some team can believe that they can get into that 2021, tap that potential of what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was that year. I'm not going to go as far as to say I don't think that this team won't buy. We have to see how the rest of this goes, right? Like, if they continue to play good baseball, they're going to add in some way. Now, I don't think it's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. We can dream about it all we want. I don't think that's going to happen. I am total agreement with Mike. That's why I don't bring him up on these shows, because I just think that that's probably not going to happen. Now, Turner's interesting in terms of the old part of it. And he hasn't had a great year. I want to make sure I make that clear. He's got an OPS of 700, which is down from last year. He had an OPS of 800, and we saw how clutch he was. But he's still a useful player even at his age. He's 40 years old now. I mean, it's a testament to... I'm sorry, he's 39 now. Testament to his career and the fact that he's been able to do this long. I don't know if I... You know, again, he's older. He's obviously an old player, but there might be something still there that can help you out. Great chemistry guy, too. It wouldn't be a huge move, but it would be something. And again, maybe he can help kind of figure out that right-handed bat situation to help you out against left-handed pitchers. He's got an 812 OPS against left-handed pitchers this year. They need somebody like that. Because we saw it again tonight. Cole Reagan's left-hander, the All-Star, shutting the Red Sox down, one run allowed in seven innings. And I'm also not, and we have to hit a break here in a moment, but, you know, Mike was saying didn't have a lot of faith in the Red Sox winning the next two games of this series. I'm not there yet. I mean, this team has bounced back a lot, and the odds have been stacked against them, too, in series, and they've bounced back. So I'm not going to go that far. I thought they were done in that Philly series back in June, down 4-0. They came back and won that, and then they won the next game. Yankees series, you could say the same thing. Rodon at that point had been pitching well. They clobber him in the second game, win the third game. I'm not counting this Red Sox team out until they start showing that they're going to revert back to that 500 team we saw for really the first 2 months of this year. You can have a little bit of faith, but of course they have to continue to earn that trust. We'll see if they can do it tomorrow and do it on Sunday. We'll preview tomorrow's game. We'll wrap things up. Again, the Red Sox fall 6-1 against Kansas City tonight at Fenway Park. These two teams now tied for that third wild card spot. Back right after this on WEEI.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Back to wrap things up here on Red Sox Review. Sox fall 6-1 against Kansas City tonight at Fenway Park. So a chance for this team to bounce back tomorrow. And they can also win this series still, three-game set. So if they win tomorrow and Sunday, they will have won it against the team. Of course, they're fighting for a third wild card spot against. Joe Weil with you here. Nico Manganiello back at WEI. Cooper Criswell got the start tonight. He ends up getting the loss tonight as he allows five runs, two earned in six innings of work. And here's what he had to say after the game.
Yeah, first two innings, a lot of contact, you know. I felt like just balls were finding holes. Some were hit good, and then, you know, some were hit a little weaker, just found the right spot at the right time. And then, like you said, kind of settled down a little bit. The homer to, I think, is a little middle, but is down, so kind of just tip your cap, good player. But, yeah, just settled in after that. But first two innings were a little weird, you know.
Yeah, I guess at least with just to be able to go six innings and, you know, get over 100 pitches there and kind of keep the bullpen where it's at.
Yeah, for sure. Like any time you get the ball as a starter, you want to go out there and give your team a chance to win. And felt like I could have done a little better job tonight than I did. But like you said, it was nice to be able to get six innings and give the bullpen a little bit of a break.
Just to be back up here.
Yeah, it's nice for sure. Obviously, wish I could have pitched a little better tonight, but it's nice being back.
Three starts after they sent you down. Was there anything in particular you were working on?
Just trying to throw more strikes, stay in the zone more. Which I'm not 100% sure what the strike percentage was tonight, but I feel like it was around league average. So, I mean, yeah, I would say that was the main focus whenever I went down.
All right, so that's Cooper Criswell talking, and he gets hung up with the loss tonight. He threw 70 strikes in 104 pitches, so a strike percentage of 67.3%. So pretty good. The big issue, and I will give him credit because he gave up five runs, so all of his runs through the first four innings, but he gives up a home run to lead off the top of the fourth inning, and then he does complete his outing by retiring nine in a row, and they get the Cam Buehler pitches in this one, and Greg Weissert goes two innings. So he gave him six, and it was in a loss, obviously, but he did give him six. But you have some arms fresh for tomorrow, and what is a big game now to try to get the middle match of this one, go back a game up on the Royals, a team that the Red Sox very well might be competing with down the stretch here for that third wild card spot. The Astros are a team you always have to be concerned about, the way that they're charging right behind as well. But this Royals team, they've it's been a huge, huge improvement from them. From a win standpoint, they're one of the most improved teams from last year to this year. They came into today 24 wins at this point, more than last year through the first 94 games. So they're a lot better. And they have Seth Lugo, an all-star on the mound tomorrow. Cooper Criswell gets the start for the Red Sox. Can they bounce back? That's the big question. And we'll see if they can. They've done it a lot. Especially here at home. They lose the openers of their series. They found ways to bounce back and at least get one of three. And that's the hope here against Kansas City, that they can do something like that. But still two out of three is possible. Gunnar Crawford, what do you have in store? And what does this offense have in store against Seth Lugo? Thank you to Nico Manganiello. Once again, back-to-back nights. Doing great work at WEEI. I'm Joe Weil here from Fenway Park, giving you the final one final time. Royals 6, Red Sox 1. Thanks for joining us on Red Sox Review. Have a great night. We'll see if the Sox can bounce back tomorrow. Yeah.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, back to wrap things up here on Red Sox Review. Sox fall 6-1 against Kansas City tonight at Fenway Park. So a chance for this team to bounce back tomorrow. And they can also win this series still, three game sets. So if they win tomorrow and Sunday, they will have won it against the team. Of course, they're fighting for a third wild card spot against. Joe Weil with you here. Nico Manganiello back at WEEI. Cooper Criswell got the start tonight. He ends up getting the loss tonight as he allows five runs, two earned in six innings of work. And here's what he had to say after the game.
Yeah, first two innings, a lot of contact, you know. I felt like just balls were finding holes. Some were hit good, and then, you know, some were hit a little weaker, just found the right spot at the right time. And then, like you said, kind of settled down a little bit. The homer to, I think, is middle, a little middle, but is down, so kind of just tip your cap, good player. But, yeah, just settled in after that, but first two innings were a little weird, you know.
Yeah, just, I guess, at least with just to be able to go six innings and, you know, get over 100 pitches there and kind of keep the bullpen where it's at.
Yeah, for sure. Like any time you know, get the ball as a starter, you want to go out there and give your team a chance to win. And felt like I could have done a little better job tonight than I did. But like you said, it was nice to be able to get six innings and give the bullpen a little bit of a break.
Just to be back up here.
Yeah, it's nice for sure. Obviously, wish I could have pitched a little better tonight, but it's nice being back.
Three starts after they sent you down. Was there anything in particular you were working on?
Just trying to throw more strikes, stay in the zone more. Which I'm not 100% sure what the strike percentage was tonight, but I feel like it was around league average. So, I mean, I would say that was the main focus whenever I went down.
All right, so that's Cooper Criswell talking, and he gets hung up with the loss tonight. He threw 70 strikes in 104 pitches, so strike percentage of 67.3%. So pretty good. The big issue, and I will give him credit because he gave up five runs, so all of his runs through the first four innings, but he gives up a home run to lead off the top of the fourth inning, and then he does complete his outing by retiring nine in a row, and they get the Cam Buehler pitches in this one, and Greg Weissert goes two innings. So he gave him six, and it was in a loss, obviously, but he did give him six. But you have some arms fresh for tomorrow, and what is a big game now to try to get the middle match of this one, go back a game up on the Royals, a team that the Red Sox very well might be competing with down the stretch here for that third wild card spot. The Astros are a team you always have to be concerned about, the way that they're charging right behind as well. But this Royals team, they've it's been a huge, huge improvement from them. From a win standpoint, they're one of the most improved teams from last year to this year. They came into today 24 wins at this point, more than last year through the first 94 games. So they're a lot better. And they have Seth Lugo, an all-star on the mound tomorrow. Cooper Criswell gets the start for the Red Sox. Can they bounce back? That's the big question. And we'll see if they can. They've done it a lot. Especially here at home. They lose the openers of their series. They found ways to bounce back and at least get one of three. And that's the hope here against Kansas City, that they can do something like that. But still two out of three is possible. Gunnar Crawford, what do you have in store? And what does this offense have in store against Seth Lugo? Thank you to Nico Manganiello. Once again, back-to-back nights. Doing great work at WEEI. I'm Joe Weil here from Fenway Park, giving you the final one final time. Royals 6, Red Sox 1. Thanks for joining us on Red Sox Review. Have a great night. We'll see if the Sox can bounce back tomorrow.